because we are in week 6 of the Exodus story. We've heard how God led the Israelites, the Hebrew people, out of bondage and captivity after 400 years in Egypt, how God sent Moses to deliver them, how God established the first Passover holiday and set it up to be an annual thing, and how God led them out of Egypt and escaped Pharaoh's army through the Red Sea, and then how God, when they got out into the desert, how God provided food through manna from heaven and quail from the sea. And today we go deeper into the desert where there's no water. Here in Exodus chapter 17, listen carefully as we hear the good news. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "The whole Israelite community broke camp and set out from the Sin Desert to continue their journey as the Lord commanded. They set up their camp at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. And the people argued with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord?' But the people were very thirsty for water there, and they complained to Moses, 'Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' And so Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What should I do with this people? They're getting ready to stone me.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Go on ahead of the people and take some of Israel's elders with you. Take in your hand the shepherd's rod that you used to strike the Nile River and go, and I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Oreb. Hit the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will be able to drink.' And Moses did while Israel's elders watched, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites argued with and tested the Lord, asking, 'Is the Lord really with us or not?'" It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, you are our God, our deliverer, our rock, the one in whom we trust. Fill us with your Spirit and pour into us your life-giving water. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So God rescues the Israelites from their slavery and bondage in Egypt, and he leads them out of their captors' presence, marching in military formation. They left, proving that God was victorious over the Egyptian gods, and they paraded out with shouts of praise and victory. They were pumped and ready for battle. They felt like they could take on anything and anyone. You ever feel that way? Oh, it's a good feeling. But yet, that emotional high didn't last long. Because as soon as they saw Pharaoh's army while they were camping at the Red Sea, they complained to Moses and they cried out in lament, "Why did God bring us out here just to die in the desert?" Yet God rescued them again. And when they got to the other side of the sea and Pharaoh's army was no longer a threat, they camped at the oasis of Elim for 45 days. And then God led them into the Sin Desert towards Sinai, where they would worship. Yet no sooner were they on the path to the Promised Land when they began to complain again. And this time they complained to Moses and they cried out, "We're starving to death. How we long for bread and meat that we had when we were slaves back in Egypt. Why did God lead us out here just to die in the desert?" And God delivers manna from heaven and quail from the sea. And God provides Israel all the bread and meat they could eat. God rescues them again. And then the community continues deeper out into the Sin Desert. And they experience one act of redemption after another on their way to God's promised goal. But in this next stage, they stop in an area called Rephidim, which is a name that literally means the camping place. And that is where they stay for a while. But this time the people face a water crisis, and it becomes a faith crisis. And they complain again. And they cry out to Moses, "We're out here dying of thirst. Why did God lead us out here just to die in the desert?" You see the pattern? We see human nature at work as they make this complaint against the divine, even in light of God's divine graciousness. I mean, this is what we do as people when we're in the wilderness. The wilderness becomes a state of our mind that sometimes we find our place, we find ourselves in a place where it's difficult to discern the difference between our fear and reality. And sometimes we find ourselves free from the things of our past, but we're not quite to, and we're still waiting for the promises and the final promises of God. And this can be a state of wilderness. But this time Moses cries out to God and God steps up the response. Until now, all the responsibility had been on Moses. All the responsibility had been on him as the leader to lead, to pacify, to handle the problems. And sometimes Aaron was there to help, yet ultimately it was Moses who carried the burden. And this time we see God tell Moses to bring some of the elders of Israel with him. These elders were the heads of the tribes and the heads of some of the families, and Moses brings them as witnesses, and he begins to share responsibility to witness the power of God and to respond to the people. And when Moses and the elders arrive, God is already there. And God instructs Moses to take his staff, the same staff he used to strike the Nile River, the same staff he used to raise over the Red Sea. And God tells Moses to strike the base of the rock at the foot of the mountain. And when he does, water comes flowing out. And all the people and all the livestock were able to drink and get their fill of all the water they needed. You know, sometimes God doesn't always lead us to an oasis. Sometimes God provides in ways that we can't comprehend, ways that don't make sense to us up to here. And sometimes God makes a way when there seems no way. And God brings forth water from the rock. You know, Fran was a paralegal for 35 years, and for a few years while we were in Dallas, she worked for a firm that handled bankruptcy creditor cases, and that's basically where when people are filing bankruptcy on somebody, she was investigating to see how much they really had and where they were hiding it. But sometimes she had come to the conclusion, you can't get blood from a turnip. And we may not be able to get blood from a turnip. But when we find ourselves lost in the wilderness, when you find yourself lost in the wilderness and it feels like you're dying of thirst in the desert of life, God can get water from a rock. And that water flowing out of the rock is known as living water. The water that flows, the water that moves, the water that refreshes, the water that quenches the thirst of our souls, the water that gives us life is living water. The Gospel of John records a story of one day when Jesus is at Jacob's well. It's this deep well located in Samaria. And while he's there, a Samaritan woman is at the water drawing up, is at the well drawing up water too. And Jesus asked her to get him some water. And a conversation ensues because Jesus is a Jew and the woman is a Samaritan. And at the time, Samaritans and Jews did not get along, much less have anything to do with each other. Yet Jesus begins to tell the woman and proceeds to tell her all about herself and her life. And when she asked, Jesus said, "If you knew who I am, you'd ask me for water, and I would give you living water." Jesus goes on to say that everyone who drinks the water from this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give will never be thirsty again. And the water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life. And then not too long later, during Sukkot, which is the week-long festival of booths, also known as the festival of the harvest ingathering. It's the annual festival where they remember their time camping out in the desert wilderness and what God did for their ancestors, how God provided manna from heaven and water from rocks. And on the last day of the festival, Jesus stands up in the middle of the crowds and he shouts out, "All who are thirsty should come to me. All who believe in me should drink. As the scriptures say concerning me, rivers of living water will flow out from within him." And Jesus is proclaiming that he is the living water. But then in Revelation 21, one of the last chapters at the very end of the Bible, we read Jesus saying, "To the thirsty I will freely give water from the life-giving spring. And those who emerge victorious, they will inherit these things. And I will be their God, and they will be my sons and daughters." But get this, Jesus also refers to himself as the rock, as the solid foundation, who is our hope, which our faith is built upon. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 1, Paul makes it clear when he says, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to be sure of the fact that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all went through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Just as God provided for the Israelites in the desert, provided whatever they needed, manna from heaven and water from rocks. For 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness, every day God provided manna from heaven. And when they were thirsty, God provided water from rocks. And God provided for them in ways that went beyond what their faith could see. And God still provides beyond what our faith can see. And for us, Jesus is both the rock and the living water. He's that reliable, constant presence that is always there, giving us that life-giving water that quenches the thirst of our soul when we're going through the wilderness of life. When it seems like we're in the desert and our faith is about to wane, and you're wondering if God is even there, you don't have to test God, because God is already there with you. So cry out to God and trust in the coming promises of Jesus, and gather those around you who can help lift you up in your faith. And when you do, you'll find that God provides in ways that we don't always comprehend, in ways we don't ever expect. But may we all understand this, that Jesus is our rock. And Jesus is offering all of us, even you, and you, and all of you. He is offering his living water, his life-giving water. And then when you accept what Jesus has to offer, you will know that you are a child of God. Amen.